Iran's President Hassan Rouhani says his country will be prepared to produce and export crude oil at full capacity within 3 months. The EU and Britain's chief negotiators resumed talks in Brussels in their last-ditch effort to secure a post-Brexit trade deal. And French police arrest nearly 100 people during nationwide protests against a controversial security bill. Marzia Hashmi, thanks so much for being with us. First story this hour takes us right here to Iran, where President Hassan Rouhani says the oil ministry has prepared installations for production and sale of crude oil at full capacity within 3 months. Rouhani said Iran's oil production and sale were restricted prior to the 2015 nuclear deal due to sanctions. He said with the embargoes lifted under the deal, Iran increased its oil sales to more than 2 million barrels per day in a short time. The country currently sells less than 300,000 barrels of oil per day due to U.S. sanctions. Washington imposed those measures after its withdrawal from the nuclear deal in 2018. President Rouhani says the U.S. economic war created obstacles to Iran's oil and petrochemical exports, but failed to bring them to zero. Voting is underway in Venezuela's parliamentary elections, in which President Nicolas Maduro's Socialist Party is tipped to win a majority. The entire 227 seats in the lower house of parliament are up for grabs. Maduro has pledged to resign immediately if his party loses the vote. Opinion polls show he will win an outright victory. Opposition leader Juan Guaido has called on Venezuelans to skip the vote. He's asked them to participate in a consultation on December the 12th. Now, the consultation will ask citizens if they reject Sunday's vote and whether they want a change of government. The elections come amid a campaign of pressure by the U.S. and Europe to force Maduro to leave office. Western governments in 2019 recognized Guaido as Venezuela's self-declared president. We earlier talked to political commentator Angelo Gilliona about the significance of the parliamentary elections in Venezuela. Let's take a listen to his comments.
This is very significant right now. It's very important for Maduro to strengthen his position, and it's going to be a confirmation of the support he's got from the majority of his, of the population, the Venezuelan population. So you just mentioned just before Juan Guaido is calling the system a fraud. I think it's quite a joke, because in Venezuela he's being called a fraud. He's afraid of joining those elections just because he would be just like Navalny in Russia. He would be Mr. 2% because nobody would vote for him. And he's getting a huge pressure from the U.S. of not participating in those elections, because the purpose of the U.S. State Department is to delegitimize the democratic system. And it's also very important to understand that the democratic system is very good. It's excellent system. I'm just quoting now Jimmy Carter. He said, as a matter of fact, of the 92 elections we have monitored, I would say that the elections process in Venezuela is the best in the world. Well, one of the reasons is that there's a double count system, both electronically and manual, which make it very almost impossible to have faults.
And now it's time for this hour's news review. The EU and Britain's chief negotiators have resumed talks in their last-ditch effort to secure a post-Brexit trade deal. EU's Michel Barnier and his British counterpart David Frost are meeting for the talks in Brussels. They seek to find common ground on critical issues that have split both sides for months now. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and EU chief Ursula von der Leyen held an emergency phone call on Saturday. They said significant differences remain, but negotiations should continue. Britain left the European Union at the end of January, but remains under EU trading rules. Now, the two sides must reach a deal before the Brexit transition period ends on December the 31st. I'd like to welcome my guests to this news review. Out of Brussels, Jerome Hughes, and out of London, Dr. Rodney Shakespeare, Professor of Binary Economics. Thank you both for being with us. Well, Jerome, let's start it off with you, and what's the latest? Yesterday, when we talked, we were waiting for the two sides to have a phone call, which now they have, and again, negotiations have started. Go ahead, Jeremy.
That's right, Marcia. And David Frost, he arrived here by train at around lunchtime local time here in Brussels to continue the negotiations with Michel Barnier, the EU's chief negotiator. And we're hearing from a lot of senior figures and senior officials, and they're using the same phrase. They're saying this is the final throw of the dice. So it really feels that this is coming down now to the wire in terms of whether or not we get a deal. But all the indications would seem to suggest, Marcia, that we are going to get a deal. If you hear the likes of Simon Coveney, who's the Foreign Affairs Minister for Ireland, he's saying that, you know, the actual agreement is up to 98% complete. And he's actually saying the reason he believes that there will be a deal is because the alternative is too difficult to think about. The consequences of not having a deal for both sides, but from the EU's perspective, they think the UK would be worse off. He's saying a no-deal scenario would be completely disastrous, and that's why he's confident. So what we're going to now, we'll probably get a lot more information tomorrow morning or maybe late tonight, but I know that Michel Barnier is going to be briefing the 27 EU ambassadors in the morning in relation to how things are going. Von der Leyen, the head of the Commission, and Boris Johnson, the UK Prime Minister, are due to have another conversation tomorrow evening. But I think the big problem here, Marcia, from the EU side of things, there is a really serious lack of trust from the EU side in terms of the UK. And that is because, of course, the changes that are due to come again in front of the House of Commons to the withdrawal agreement, you know, because of the UK internal market bill and the finance bill. And this is still a threat to the Northern Ireland peace process, the EU is saying. But not only that, another element to the lack of trust, Marcia, is in relation to what the UK did last week in terms of going ahead and saying that they're going to roll out the COVID-19 vaccine as of the next few days. And the EU is saying that, you know, the UK is still bound by the terms of the transition period. And so it should be waiting for the green light from the European Medicines Agency, which is the body that authorises vaccines. But of course, the UK has taken the approach that it says, well, it's taken an emergency measure to do this. But even so, just regardless of you know, the legalities of that or the moral element of it, the EU feels that the UK just simply cannot be trusted. And both sides keep saying that it's so important that get ready for a no-deal scenario. And both sides are saying that they are ready for a no-deal scenario. But if you listen to experts, if you speak to economists, they're saying it's impossible that both sides could be ready for a no-deal scenario because it's so complex. They're so inextricably linked, both the EU and the UK. They're bound on so many different important and technical issues that just to be ready for a no-deal scenario is wishful thinking.
Well, let's talk to an economist. Rodney, your take on this. Is it likely that a no-deal scenario could really happen and the effects on both sides, if that would be the case?
There is a great case for a deal because of the huge interests on both sides. And yet the problems are also very great. And here is an example. Cod. British cod is part of British fish and chips. And of the cod, which is taken from the waters of the UK, over 80% is taken by French fishermen, and only 9% is taken by the UK fishermen. Now that's absolutely extraordinary. Fish are a very small part of the UK economy, but you can see the significance of that for the people who want a Brexit. So I'm not underestimating the difficulties The French fishermen won't want to lose out, and the British fishermen feel that they've had a very bad deal. The interests, of course, are huge. Half our economy goes across to Europe and the other way around. We are next door to Europe. So there's going to be a deal, I think. There's going to be areas of it which they cannot resolve. I don't think that the consequences are going to be happy for the UK. Basically, the hardline Brexiteers want a low-wage economy and rich-poor division. That's what they're up to. They have this other thing, a fantasy of the British Empire ruling the world. But with their modern aspects, they want a low-wage economy and insecure jobs for the mass of the population. So there you have it. Very difficult. I think there'd be a deal. It would be a weak deal with lots of things still be decided. And an issue like fish, somebody is going to lose heavily on that one way or the other.
Well, Rodney, you're saying basically, let me just ask you, with this situation and this Brexit, you see London gaining more than they're losing, or losing more than it's gaining with Brexit?
There is no doubt that the UK will lose as a result of the situation now. If it's a hard Brexit or a no deal Brexit or even a negotiated Brexit, the overall loss on the UK economy, as far as can be seen for the future, is going to be at least 2% per year, or 3 or 4, or maybe much more. And as for the making it up with the Americans, forget it. The Americans won't be giving us any deal at all, particularly if we break the Good Friday Agreement. So I'm not looking at a rosy situation. The question is whether we get out of it in not too bad, or whether it goes absolutely disastrous.
All right, and on that note, I thank both of you for being with us on this News Review. Jerome Hughes out of Brussels, Rodney Shakespeare, Professor of Binary Economics out of London. France's European Affairs Minister has warned that Poland and Hungary risk exclusion from the EU's budget and economic recovery fund. Klimt Bionde said that Poland and Hungary will lose billions of euros in financing from the fund if they maintain their veto on the plan. Now, the two nations are blocking the fund over a proposal to link the money to respect for the rule of law in the EU. The dispute is set to come to a head next week. The EU should come to a consensus on its 2021 budget on Monday. A summit is due to take place 3 days later. Budapest and Warsaw have been criticized over alleged violations of democratic standards enshrined in the EU's founding treaty. And now to France itself, which says 95 people were arrested during nationwide protests against a security bill and police brutality on Saturday. The prosecutor's office said 25 people, including 2 minors, were held in Paris. Police and protesters clashed in the capital. Cars were set ablaze. Officers fired tear gas to disperse the crowd, and protesters accused Paris police of using violence. Officials said 4 dozen police officers were injured there. Saturday marked the second weekend of mass protests against police violence and a security bill currently going through the French Parliament. While the bill increases government surveillance tools and restrict rights on circulating images of police officers, critics say the bill would limit freedom and allow police brutality to go undiscovered and unpunished. Kristen Hahn in Paris says there is growing tension among the higher echelons of the French government over the proposed security bill.
There are tensions rising in high circles of the government because not every minister or not every high-ranking political parliamentary is happy with the way this goes. Many people say the existing laws, you can use the existing laws to punish people who are trying to damage, for instance, police officers. I mean, no new restrictive laws are needed to do these things. And it's even more because without the video footage, police brutalities, which is really existing in France, could not be filmed. So at the moment, the government is not withdrawing, but the law has to be voted in the Senate. And many voices inside the Senate are saying that they will rewrite this law. Meanwhile, most of the protesters don't want a rewriting of the law. They want the law to be cancelled.
And now to Italy, where the official death toll from the coronavirus has passed 60,000 after more than 560 people died of the disease during the last 24 hours. During the same period, the Italian Health Ministry registered nearly 19,000 new infections. That brings the country's total COVID cases to over 1.72 million. Also, on Sunday, the UK reported over 17,000 new infections and 231 new deaths. The number of cases in Germany rose by more than 17,000 to above 1.17 million. Russia also reported a record high of more than 29,000 new coronavirus cases. Many European countries are grappling with a second wave of the pandemic. This has led to a significant rise in hospital admissions and intensive care occupancy. Iran has slammed the International Atomic Energy Agency over the leak of a confidential letter sent by Tehran to the agency. In a tweet, Iran's permanent representative to Vienna-based international organizations held the IAEA responsible for the incident. Qasem Gharibabadi urged the agency to revise its confidentiality mechanisms. But why did these types of leaks occur in the first place, and why particularly on Iran's nuclear energy program?
On Friday, the news agency Reuters published a report on a confidential letter sent by Iran to the International Atomic Energy Agency on Iran. The letter contained information on Iran's safeguard measures in its nuclear enrichment plant in the central city of Natanz. The leak prompted an angry reaction from Iran and other countries. Iran condemned the IAEA and criticized the leak. Iran's permanent envoy to the IAEA, Qasem Gharibabadi, said that the agency is responsible for the incident and that the agency's confidentiality mechanisms are seriously flawed. He said that Iran will shortly take legal action over the leak of information. Gharibabadi stressed that reporting confidential information without following the declassification procedure is illegal.
All safeguards and JCPOA reports, as well as Iran's correspondence with the IAEA and vice versa, are confidential. The IAEA shares its reports in its internal site, only accessible to its member states.
Gharibabadi said that Tehran has already asked the agency to minimize the amount of details it gives its member states in its reports and to avoid providing them with non-essential information. He said the history of Iran's legal protests against the IAEA over its failure to preserve confidential information dates back more than two decades.
In 2018, the Washington Post reported that Israeli intelligence agencies and experts have gotten a hold, actually, of sensitive information of Iran's nuclear capability through the IAEA, and this is no accident given that the IAEA is heavily biased towards Israel, so it's natural that the spies involved have had institutional leverage as well with officials that were working with the IAEA and using it as an opportunity to extract information about Iran's nuclear capabilities.
Indeed, the incident is the latest in a series of tensions between Iran and the IAEA over the matter. This is not the first time that confidential information on Iran is leaked by the Atomic Agency. Over the years, and even before signing the 2015 nuclear deal known as the JCPOA, confidential information related to Iran has been leaked to non-parties to the JCPOA on many occasions. After signing the deal, Iran witnessed leakage of its confidential reports and information by the UN nuclear watchdog numerous times.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this pretty cool Sunday, December 6th, 2020. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Keep us company until the end of the program. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service to our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us normally. However, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. So please be patient. Until the disease is controlled around the world, then IRIB English Radio can get back on track and send you paper QSL cards and also the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Musharraf Hussain Jahangir from India, Hasna from India also, and Zach Alvarez from the Philippines. Musharraf Hussain, Hasna, and Zach Alvarez, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thank you again. And also a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their letters and emails, including Ivan Zeleny from Russia. Ivan Zeleny is one of our regular listeners who has sent us an email. And Arun Kumar from India also has sent us an email. From Italy, we have an email from Enzo Pistone. Enzo Pistone is also one of our regular listeners. Also, we have an email from Sweden. This email is from Jarl Sinevak. And we have an email from Chris Malbouf from British Columbia, Canada. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we have an email from Russia. This email is from Ivan Zeleny, one of our regular listeners. Ivan says, thank you for your letter. In our country and in my city, coronavirus no longer particularly affects people's lives. Therefore, my wife and I enjoy wearing masks in public places. We often use hand sanitizers and strictly follow all the recommendations of epidemiologists. When we get home from the store, we immediately thoroughly disinfect all food packages and bags, clean our shoes, and constantly do wet cleaning with disinfectants. Polyclinics and hospitals all have begun to accept fewer patients with various chronic diseases, as patients voluntarily do not want to create an extra burden on tired doctors. We also rarely visit doctors because in a few months, we mastered simple medical knowledge. Many residents of my city, through social networks on the internet, constantly write words of gratitude to doctors. I wish all IRIB staff and their families good health. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Ivan Zeleny from Russia. And thank you for writing this email to us. It's good news. The situation regarding coronavirus in your country, as you mentioned, is great. And that's good news. We hope the disease is controlled globally around the world. And anyone affected by coronavirus gets healthy very soon. Again, thank you for writing to us, and we wish all the best and good health for you and your family, and also all the Russians and all people around the world. Ivan Zeleny from Russia, write to us very soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon in the future. Tell us which programs you like the best in your upcoming emails. Stay healthy and safe. Also, we have an email from Sweden. This email is from Jarl Sinevag. Jarl says, now finally a small bit of criticism. I have not got any QSLs from IRIB, and I feel rather unhappy about it. I'm expecting a change to the better during the year 2020. With all the very best to you all from your listener in Sweden. First of all, greetings to you, Jarl Sinevak from Sweden, and thank you for writing this message to IRIB English Radio. I wish you're doing fine, and regarding your comment about not receiving the paper QSL cards, I have to note that it's pretty normal. Please don't get unhappy about that. As you may know, with the outbreak of coronavirus around the world, we can't send any item, any material, including paper QSL cards and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio to you. And that is due to protocols and hygienic rules and regulations. So please let this mutual relationship keep on and keep in touch with us in upcoming emails. And anyway, tell us your views about our programs. You can listen to the radio and enjoy it, to IRB English Radio, and tell us your views about our programs. As you mentioned, and as I have said several times during our programs, please don't worry about that. As the disease is controlled around the world, IRB English Radio can get back to the tradition of sending its dear listeners, as you may know, the souvenirs, the postcards, and the paper QSL cards. Thank you again for writing to IRB English Radio, Jarl Sinnevag from Sweden. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Welcome back. Here we have an email from N. Arun Kumar from India. N. Arun Kumar says, I am Kumar from Chennai or Madras, a coastal city in southern part of India. Thanks for your mail. In India, as we have several persons affected with COVID-19 disease, some states like Tamil Nadu, where I live, have announced lockdowns to curtail the spread of COVID-19 disease. I keep myself engaged listening to shortwave radio stations like IRIB English Radio. I have a lot of books which I did not read because of my busy schedule before the COVID-19 lockdown. But now, as we cannot go out because of the lockdown, I have started reading the unfinished books. As I am a radio operator, I get connected to other radios across the world to get to know about COVID-19 disease spread in their countries. Me and my 8-year-old son, Pranav Arun Kumar, are philatelists collecting stamps of several countries. So we browse online websites like Stanley Gibbons, India Post, Australia Post, Pitcairn, Ireland, Iran, etc., to get to know more about the new stamps released in their country. Thanks and regards. First of all, greetings to you and Arun Kumar from India. I do express my gratitude for writing to us and for sending us this email. And thank you for letting us know about the situation about coronavirus in your country, about the outbreak of coronavirus. And what a pity. You said that you mentioned about the number of COVID-19 cases in your country and in your province, in your state, as you said, Tamil Nadu, where there are reports of coronavirus cases. We hope everything gets back to normal regarding all the people around the world. And you mentioned that as a profession, you are a radio operator. It's a nice job. It seems that you deal with different radios around the world. That's great. Write to us very soon, Arun Kumar from India. We hope everything gets normal regarding the coronavirus disease. Stay safe and healthy. And we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Also from Italy, we have an email from Enzo Pistone. Enzo Pistone is one of our regular listeners. Enzo says, thank you for your email. Regarding your question, definitely, I would prefer to receive confirmation for reception reports via email. Often it has happened that any correspondence sent by IRIB to me has arrived with delay. In a couple of occasions, I received no QSL card or correspondence at all. Definitely sent from Tehran, then lost in the post. So yes, I am all in favor of electronic QSL cards. Kind regards. Enzo Pistone, salam and greetings to you, or ciao. I wish you're doing fine in Italy and lots of gratitude for writing to us. Also, many thanks for reflecting your views, your comments about confirmation or reception reports. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Tell us which programs you like the best in IRB English Radio. Enzo Pistone from Italy. Thank you again. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from our dear listeners around the world. Welcome back. One of our regular listeners, Chris Malboff, has sent us an email. Chris Malboff is from Canada, from British Columbia province. Chris says, hope all is well with you. The pandemic situation here in my country, Canada, is between good and bad, as there have been new cases of the virus. We are now allowed to travel within the province, and businesses are slowly opening and everything is restarting. To pass the time, I like to read and go out for a walk and listen to my shortwave radio. I have not found any new hobbies yet. I will find one. And when I don't feel the threat of the virus, the one place I would like to go is the town of Mendocino to see the Point Arena, Lighthouse, and the ocean. Anyhow, that's all I have to say. Hope I will be able to listen to your session as I haven't been able to yet. With my regards, sincerely. And greetings to you from the Islamic Republic of Iran, Chris Malboff from British Columbia, Canada. Hope you're doing fine. Many thanks for this email, and also thanks for letting us know about the situation of COVID-19 in your country and in your province, British Columbia. We hope to hear good news about the control of the disease very soon. Tune in to IRB English Radio and enjoy this station, IRB English Radio. During the lockdowns, as you said, you found it as a hobby to listen to shortwave radio. And also, it seems that you're planning to visit the ocean and the lighthouse. Anyway, stay safe and healthy and write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Dear listeners, stay with us because here we've reached the section of this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you'll enjoy it.
Yes, my name is Chris Jensen. I'm living in Belgium. I'm working as a civil servant for the government here in Belgium, but I also travel a lot because traveling is my passion, and especially traveling to the Middle East. I've been visiting many countries in the Middle East, and last year I visited also Iran, which was a very, very nice experience. Yes, I'm listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, so Tehran Radio, and several mediums. I'm listening to it on shortwave, but also on the internet and on satellite. And I think that's the future, because a lot of people think that shortwave is an old technology, which is dying at the moment. But I don't believe this. I think if you want to reach the world, you have to use a media mix. So it's not if, but and. So I listen on different medium to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So to my opinion, shortwave is still alive, and it's not a dead medium. I think it has still a bright future in it. Yes, I want to send my greetings to everyone, and I call upon them to, if they can, visit Iran yourself, because, as I said before, there are many misconceptions about Iran here in the Western world, and my experience last year was a wonderful experience. I experienced Iran as a very friendly country with friendly people. It's a very modern country with good infrastructure. And everywhere where I came, people were open to me, people tried to help me. So I'm calling upon the listeners, please visit the country yourself. It's the best way to get an idea about Iran and to learn about the country. Mm-hmm.
Dear listeners, you just heard a beautiful piece of music from north of Iran. And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, the Sunday program. Many thanks for being with us and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Rabbana.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Hayyu wa ya Qayyum, nawwir qalbana.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be looking at a question that is very important, and that question is the following. We know that in the Holy Quran, God says that He is the creator of all things. For example, in Surah Zumar, verse 62, God says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. God is the creator of all things. Or in Surah Mu'min, verse 62, Allah says, Zalikumullahu rabbukum khaliqu kulli shay. That is God, your Lord, the creator of all things. Other verses as well affirm this Quranic truth. At the same time, we know that we intuitively feel that we are the agent of the actions that we perform. We cannot deny this. How can we reconcile these two principles with one another? It seems that we know that it's impossible for one effect to stem from two causes. This is something that is very self-evidently true. So how can we say that this effect is simultaneously the effect of God and the effect of my existence, me? How can it be my effect and God's effect at once? Does this not contradict that philosophical and rational idea that one effect cannot be simultaneously be the product of two causes at once? The answer to this question is that this question stems from a misunderstanding of this principle. While it's true that one effect cannot be the effect of, cannot simultaneously be the effect of two causes at once, it means that two causes that are independent of one another, that are horizontally aligned with one another, neither of which are the cause or the effect of one another. This is something impossible. But if one of them is the effect of the other, then it's possible for this single effect to stem from both of them. It could stem from one of them immediately and from the other through the mediation of this immediate cause, which is what we imply when we say that God is the creator of all things and at the same time affirm the agency of beings other than God. This philosophical and rational truth has been expressed in the Quran in the form of a phrase we see recurringly mentioned in the Quran in the form of the phrase bi-iznillah. Bi-iznillah means exactly what we just mentioned, that if certain things produce certain effects, it's with the permission of God. This isn't a religious permission. For example, God has given us the permission to eat. He's given us the permission to live, to get married, to have children, to have a job, to own wealth, to own property. This is a religious permission in the sense that God has allowed us to perform this action. Here, bi-iznillah, or with the permission of God, it's not similar to this permission that He gives us with respect to our actions. Rather, it means that God has cosmologically or takwinan given certain beings the power to perform certain actions. Because this power ultimately stems from God, the actions that are performed through this power also stem from God. And at the same time, they stem from the agent which has been given this power through God. There's a very beautiful verse in the Holy Quran which simultaneously ascribes an effect to God and His creature at the same time. This is the 17th verse of Surah Anfal. God says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. He says that you did not throw when you threw, but God threw. So he says, in this verse, God ascribes this act of throwing to Himself as well as to the Prophet, one of His creatures. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the problem of God's being the creator of all things with the idea that there are agents in this world besides him and how we can reconcile these two ideas. Thank you for joining us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kHz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی است.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is part of a speech delivered on September 21st, 2020 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, via video conference with participants in ceremonies throughout the country to honor the veterans of the Sacred Defense Era. The meeting was held on the occasion of 40th anniversary of the Sacred Defense.
They gave Saddam Mirage to bombard us, super itandered for striking our ships, as well as giving him satellite information on the movement of our forces and the places where they stated. Their assistance to the Iraqis ranged from money to tanks, chemical weapons, and all sorts of other things. They even gave him chemical weapons, and Saddam used them against us. He also used them against his own nation. In Halabche, he used chemical weapons, and in our country too. He used them many times. In other words, the West and Europe violated and trampled upon all their philanthropic and human rights claims in their interaction with the Iraqis. They invalidated all their claims by defending the corrupt, dictatorial, and anti-human regime of Saddam. Having a deep understanding about these matters is very precious to us. We should really know who Westerners are, and we should decide, think, and work accordingly.
Your light and love, all I see. Nothing more I'd ever want or need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor. Grant me faith to be stronger.
The last point that I want to raise is that a great incident occurred in the sacred defense era. The fact that it revealed the capabilities and capacities of the Iranian nation to the whole world. In other words, it turned into a medium. All media in the world were against us. Global media were against the revolution. Of course, the same situation exists today. It was also the case at that time. In the beginning of the revolution, official media in the world either lied, denied our strong points, or slandered everyone, including Imam, the government of the Islamic Republic, the masses of the people, the judiciary branch, the armed forces, and everyone else. They worked continuously against them, and they wanted to portray the Iranian nation as bad people in the eyes of people all over the world.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.